Praise ye the Lord. That is this one. Well, we want to acknowledge Sister Alice. Praise the Lord. Are you with? Praise ye the Lord. This is Thanksgiving week, so we ought to thank the Lord for that also. Praise ye the Lord. Actually, that is what I have in mind today. Thanksgiving week. The Lord has been good to us. See, wherein we are glad that our mouth is full with joy. Because there was an emergency where they have to rush to the hospital, to have some surgery, where we thank the Lord that she's sat here with us, and we give all the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody lift up your hand and just thank the Lord. Just wait for the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is the time of Thanksgiving. And I also want to ask, is this Sister Grace that says she needs to pray, she needs to go to Nigeria in a week, during this week. So come forward, let somebody pray for you. Praise the Lord. Brother Austin, you just came back from Nigeria. I want you to come and pray for Sister Grace right there. Just sit down right there. Brother Austin, please come and pray for her.
Hallelujah. Let's stretch our hands towards our sister. Father, we thank you. You took us to Nigeria and brought us back. Your hand of safety is upon us. Because in you we live, in you we move, in you we have our being. And we are your offspring. Your word says your eyes running to and fro to show yourself mighty on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards you. Your daughter is going to Nigeria. She will go and she will come back safely. And she'll be intact. She will come back with testimonies. Whatsoever the enemy has released or will release, we bind in the name of Jesus. We say that will not prosper. Father, we ask, oh Lord, your angels will encamp round about her all through. They will shield her. The enemy will not recognize her. They will see Jesus. Father, we see the fire and they will run away. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we release your fire upon your daughter. Let this Shekinah glory that appeared just now rest upon her tangibly. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. She will come back with testimonies. In the name of Jesus Christ. We bless these hands. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Well, my brother, Brother James, you didn't bring your drum today. I wanted you to play that drum, but you didn't bring it. But we are going to just sing this song that I love. It's an Igbo song. Where is Brother Igbo man? Igbo. Well, you are going to sing this song in Igbo, but I don't know how it is, the words in Igbo. He said, Timbani Kariolua Ileashu Ileamo Ileashu Ileam. That's for Yorubas. If I am to count the blessings of the Lord, say it will be night and day. So I want you to just sing it in that your real language. Well, I think that was the original. So praise the Lord. The man in Kariolu Wao, Ile Ashu If I have to praise the Lord, Oh, Thank you, the musicians. That's another language. Timbani kari oluwa ile ashu ile amo ile ashu ile amo. If I am to sing the praises and count the blessings of the Lord, it will be night and it will be day, and you will all still be here, because it's not, it's too much. That was the meaning of that song. And that is the Thanksgiving song, actually, that I wanted to sing, and I wanted to actually use this sermon as a Thanksgiving sermon. Not really talking of testimony, so I said, well, let me wait for Bracken or Para to arrive, so I sing that song. That's for you, Bracken. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I saw you guys walking in when we started singing that song. Praise the Lord. So today is this is Thanksgiving weekend. So I said, well, what type of message will the Lord want us to sing or to do? And I said, well, Thanksgiving is one thing. But the Lord gave me a message. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27, from verse 9, I'm going to read. The title of this message is going to be called Shipwreck. Shipwreck. And that is what the Lord wants us to warn us about, because from the story of Apostle Paul, when he was a prisoner and he was now going towards Rome, and we know what happened to him on the way, that was called shipwreck. That is, they went into the ship and they were going towards Rome. And there was storm on the road, on the sea, a lot of storm. And when we were going to go through it slowly, it's like a teaching, and see what we can draw from there. And the Lord is going to talk to us from that. Shipwreck, it's not about Apostle Paul. It's our life, life in general, because there are many things that can be called shipwreck in life. There can be shipwreck in somebody's individual life, physical life. There could be shipwreck in somebody's spiritual life. If you never made it to heaven, that's a shipwreck. No matter how much you follow the Lord, if the person does not make it to heaven, shipwreck. There could be shipwreck in financial situation. That's the work of physical life also. So that is why he wants us to see an example of what caused this shipwreck for Apostle Paul, from what they went through, which is really just like life. They were in a ship, and there will be serious situations. And the Lord was there to help them in the end. But even though the Lord was there with Apostle Paul, they actually had a shipwreck. What's a shipwreck? It means this ship that was expected to go from point A to point B didn't make it. That particular ship that they were in did not make it. That is what a shipwreck. Sometimes in the real world, on the ocean or in the sea, they can purposely wreck the ship and say, oh, this thing, there's something wrong with this ship. So don't put it on the sea anymore. Also, that is intentionally just ground this ship. That happens even in airlines and so on. That is intentional shipwreck. There could be something that the storm is what makes the ship just grounded. They found some ship that were wrecked under the ocean because they didn't make to the wherever their destination was. That is a shipwreck also. And what could cause that? Could be the sailors. The sailors. Of course, there was storm. Then, of course, there could be a mistake of the sailors. I mean, those are the people that are to steer this ship. So when you compare that with our life, then you know that every one of us, we were born, we raised up, and we went to school, and went to colleges. You know, not everybody that went to college graduates, you know that. Shipwreck. Some went through college and they choose a profession and they wanted to be prosperous and they never really get prosperous. And in the end, we have stories in America where some people who got PhD occasionally they end up being homeless. Homeless? PhD? In America where there are so much, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. You can get shipwrecked. They didn't get to the end of what they were talking about. So those are the things that we talk is life, really, when we talk of shipwreck. Now, I'm going to just highlight some few things that can cause some of these disappointments. The same with spiritual life. Spiritual life means we are all following the Lord. Think of Judas Iscariot. Nobody knew about it, but he was following them too. The Lord Jesus Christ pointed, he called him out. But when you look at that, that's a dangerous, that's a different one. Why? You say, oh, did he do something wrong? But Jesus Christ said, one of you is a devil. That means a bad apple. And he actually shows him for that purpose to come and do what he... So that's another thing that I was, when I was highlighting it, I said, we can say what is the cause of all these things in life. And you can say, well, maybe these people, they didn't listen to counsel, they didn't seek God's counsel, or they heard the counsel, they didn't obey the counsel, they didn't follow the counsel. Because you can see stories and stories in the life of the Israelites where they did not follow the counsel of the Lord and they got into trouble. Or they did not obey the counsel. I mean, God gave them instruction and they did not do it right and they fell into trouble. Those are also, will be the shipwreck, simply means they were shipwrecked because they didn't get to where they wanted to go, from A to B. But this part of Judas Iscariot is a bad ship. I mean, when you have a bad ship, when you identify this is a bad ship, you don't even want to try it. And that is what the Lord mentioned about Judas Iscariot. This one is a devil, not possessed. He didn't say one of you is possessed by a devil because Jesus Christ was casting out devils. But he didn't cast out any devil from Judas Iscariot. He said he is a devil. So that's a bad apple. So that's a different caveat. But I'm talking about shipwreck today, and let's see, growing gradually through this story of Apostle Paul, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 27, I'm going to paraphrase what was happening to Apostle Paul. From the first verse, you will see that he has been in prison for almost 2 years in Caesarea. That's Apostle Paul. When he was arrested in Jerusalem, he had been in the prison. And then, just a moment, I want to make sure that I have my recording turned on. Yep, it's going on. Praise the Lord. So Apostle Paul has been in prison for quite some time. And then when they wanted to send him back to Jerusalem, the governor wanted to send him back to Jerusalem because the governor was kind of leaning towards siding with the Jews. Apostle Paul said, no, I appeal to Caesar, who is the Supreme Court of the world in that day. So, okay, the governor said, well, we have to send you to Caesar in Rome. That was the background of the story. And chapter 27, verse 1 is where now they say, well, they got a band of soldiers that are going through that land, going to Rome. So they gathered some of these prisoners, including Paul, who was by now classified as a prisoner. So this centurion with your band of soldiers, you're going to take these prisoners to Rome. So that was the story in chapter 27. We say after verse 1, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, that was where Rome is, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. So now they are on their way to Rome. And you know, in those days, the ship takes months just to go from point A to point B. And then when you get to verse 9, he said there was some problem on the ocean, on the sea, on the what's called Mediterranean Sea, that began to stop them, or they couldn't just go directly. But in the end, we see Apostle Paul trying to help. The first place Apostle Paul told them in verse 10, he said, give me verse 10. That's verse 9. He said, Paul admonished them in verse 10. Give me verse 10 now. And he said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lady and sheep, but also of our lives. Apostle Paul didn't say, God told me. So it was just designing that from the ocean, from the things, the sailors were trying their best. They are trying to say, should we go? Should we not go? Should we not? And they saw they are washing the wind. I mean, that's in those days, they have this mast, and they normally look at it blowing. That's how they travel in those days, anyway. So Apostle Paul says that something is not right. If we keep going, there will be something serious. So he's told, like trying to give the counsel, that he was not a sailor. And he was a prisoner, I mean, already classified as one of the prisoners. Not sentenced yet, but he was classified as a prisoner. So why should he listen to him? So nobody was really going to listen to him. But the centurion knew about his case, that where he was a philosopher or a religious person, and they are taking him to Rome to go and stand before Caesar. So the centurion kind of said, well, we have to listen to the captain. You know, the captain of these people are just passengers. The soldiers were passengers. Paul was a passenger with the prisoners. So they were more or less just getting into the ship and going as a passenger. So a passenger can't tell you that, well, you better don't go here. Something is about to happen. But it was a counsel. He was giving them counsel from his spirit. And he was not sure. He said, I perceive. So when we talk about what can cause, when I was talking about the causes of shipwreck, one of the things I say is maybe they did not hear counsel. God was trying to tell them something, they didn't hear it. Why? Because, and we have problems like that too. God can be giving you a push in your spirit. It's a still small voice. A still small voice is telling you, don't go yet. Let me give you, I'm going to introduce some small testimonies of some people that have given testimonies like that. There was a pastor that asked a similar testimony, not on a ship. I had this story from another ministry. This pastor was giving his testimony where he was traveling with his wife. They're traveling from point A to point B in America, driving on a vacation. And then they got to the city and they were checking an hotel, and then in the morning they have to keep driving. And what happened? They have prayed in the morning. Of course, we are believers in the Lord. You prayed and then you commit your way into the Lord. But when you prayed, and he said he brought all the luggages back into the car, and while he was waiting for his wife to come down from the hotel room so that he can get to drive out, he said something told him. That's a counsel. That's from the Spirit, not a voice. He said something witnessed him that don't go yet. Wait 10 minutes right here. By that time, his wife came down. And she just said, man said, he just claimed that, well, what is going to happen? You just claim our victory using faith. But the minister that was saying said that they don't forget the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is given to us to also guide us. You can use faith, but don't overrule when the Holy Ghost is talking. But if you are not sensitive to the Holy Ghost, you more or less will overrule it and say, well, we have claimed victory. No, there shall no evil befall us. We are going. And they left. He said, within that 10 minutes, they ran into an accident. And it was the man's fault, the driver and the pastor. But he said, to make it worse was that it was another state, and he has to be coming all the way to come and defend the case and so on. So that was, after he started thinking about, why did the Lord allow this? Then remember, you are not listening to counsel. So when we say, sometimes it is just either they did not seek counsel or wait for counsel, or when the counsel came, they did not obey. That was that example. But Apostle Paul gave them counsel here, but they went anyway and said, well, the sailor said, well, things are fine. We should be able to make it to the next place. And when you go continue in chapter 27, you also see what other things they said they saw. Verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the captain and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Because, well, this man is just a passenger, but this owner of the ship is the owner, not only is the owner, he's been a sailor for a long time, so he must be able to read all this well and also. So they followed the man and the corner of the ship said, well, we shall make it. So they kept going. And then another thing is verse 12. Give me verse 12 of this. 27 verse 12. Because the haven was not commodious to winter in. That is what they are following the sight. And the Bible normally tells us not to walk by sight, walk by faith. So we're just drawing some lessons in this, because one of the things we said about what can cause a shipwreck in the life of anybody, if you don't seek God's counsel, or you don't listen to the counseling, because God gave you counsel, you don't listen. That's the first one of the Apostle Paul. He didn't listen to him. He didn't say God told me, he just gave counsel. The other thing is that perhaps you are not patient enough to wait for the counsel. That is waiting, listening, waiting. Sometimes God does not rush to come and tell you. You want to wait upon him for him to put something in your heart. So there's some waiting, which is patience. So we need to be patient enough to be able to hear from the Lord when it comes to being led by the Spirit of God, God leading us. But in the end, what you see, and then the other thing is that they were following their sight. Suppose you wake up in the morning, like this man, this pastor that said he had a voice while he was about to drive out and said, don't go yet, wait 10 minutes. He didn't know why. So he ignored it and tried to claim faith, and he didn't walk out. Also, I was meditating on it. I said, suppose you wake up in the morning, and the Lord told you, maybe in a vision or a dream, that said, you want to travel today, don't travel today, it's bad weather today. Do not travel today, it's bad weather. And you woke up, look at this, you wake up in the morning, you swear, the weather so nice, the sun was bright and everything. We're going to doubt that dream. What bad weather? You check the television, they say the weather in the old city and where you're going is perfect. No problem. Now you are following your what? You are following your senses, your sight. But we don't walk by sight, we should walk by faith. So if God has told you in a dream, or you woke up and said, don't go today because it's a bad weather, don't think what you see after you wake up and see the sun's bright and everything so shining and the weather forecaster says everything is fine. Don't think that is the way to go. Also, if you're really going to follow the Lord, you should be following the Lord that just told you, don't go today. So that's just an example. I know that you have any testimony of that, but I'm saying that is how many of us are running into problem. We may hear something from the Spirit, and it's kind of conflict with what we see naturally, and we think, I think I got the Spirit wrong. Also, and that will be danger, because you may jump on that road and find that I should have listened. They say, I shouldn't travel today, because right on the road, something else changed. And that is another storm suddenly coming, the weather forecaster did not see. So that is one of the reasons why I say those are causes. So an example of what we are reading in Acts of the Apostles chapter 27 was, they saw in another verse, when they saw the south wind blow softly, I said, well, you see, the wind is blowing fine. So they step out and go. That is in verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they loose from tents and thinking they can get by Crete. So that is what I mean by you can wake up in the morning and wake up and say, well, I had a dream. I said, don't travel today and the weather is going to be bad. what weather? Look at this weather forecasters. I'm following them. Or look at the sun, so bright, everything's so perfect. No, follow the Spirit. So that is one of the examples I say, well, these people are not following the counsel of Paul. So they step on and went because they saw a soft south wind blow. And they say, well, that is a sign to them that everything will be fine also. And they went. But 14, verse 14 is where they now run into trouble. Not long after this, arose against it a tempestuous wind. They call it that one. That's like a hurricane. Euroclidon. European Clidon. It's almost like this is coming, blowing from Europe. They call it a Euroclidon. So that is where they run into problem. You know the rest of the story. They have for days and days and days. It looked like it was against them. In the end, if you read on and on, I see they finally, that ship was wrecked. Only the men escaped. They threw all the things in, no, doesn't help them. They threw all the wheat things they were carrying to Rome for sale, threw it away, it didn't help. At the end of it all, Apostle Paul said, you should have listened to me when I first told you guys we shouldn't have left. Of course, he didn't say, God told me to tell you, no, it's just passive. Now he took over and began to tell them that an angel told me today that we are all not going to die. After so many 20-something days of nobody was thinking they were going to survive. So, but that was a shipwreck. And we are going to apply, I'm just trying to apply this to our life and say, we have to try to see what can be shipwreck in individual's life. Individual's life. It could be a family, it could be a life of an individual person, or the life of a family. Because when you say shipwreck, when you get married, you pick somebody to be your partner, and you're building up a family. You are trying to go somewhere, also. You're trying to go somewhere. But if you have some of these problems, which I will name, one of them is that can make shipwreck. Shipwreck then will be that the family didn't get, or if this break apart, that's shipwreck, also. If they were not able to raise the children the right way, and the children end up in some in jail, some in all those troubles, that's shipwreck. So that is all the things that you want to see, that we want to guard against all these things that can cause a shipwreck in life. Life of individual, life of the house you are building, which is family, or business you are building, which is a business, can be a shipwreck, can make a shipwreck because of those small traits that can occur. One of them is, the first thing I listed here is what you call dissatisfaction or discontent. When you look at that verse 12, I see discontentment there in verse 12. They said that place was not commodious, so they are not going to be, they don't want to stay here. So that is like they are not happy where they are. They don't want to stay in that place. So discontentment, dissatisfaction, all of those things can be some things that can make you begin to want to do something else. I have a story of a family member back home that was expected to go through this training. In those days, if you don't want to go to high school or you don't have money to go to high school, you go and learn a trade. When you went and learn a trade, and you spend almost 3 years in learning this trade, you change your mind and say, I don't think this is going anywhere. Discontentment, dissatisfaction, and change. Which means he has wasted 3 years of learning this trade. Instead of 5 years, you should have graduated after 5 years of learning the trade and become what you call, you take your freedom, you establish yourself. But discontentment, change the mind and say, well, I'm going to learn something else. I'm going to learn something else. So you just threw away 3 years of trying to do this. The same thing I warned some of the young people when they were growing, choosing career. I said, well, if you choose this career, say, I'm going to be this. I went to college and chose this career. Don't spend 2 years and then say, no, I don't think I want to change to another department. You can be in danger. That's dangerous. I said, you just wasted 2 years. Sometimes you can't even transfer some of these classes to the next department. Going to start all over again. So those are the things that you wash out against. Another thing that I mentioned here is impatience. Those are small things that can make people don't realize that they could add up to cause shipwreck of somebody's life, somebody's profession. I call it impatience. What is impatience? Trying to, for example, I said they should listen to counseling. If you want to listen to counseling of the Lord, you want the Lord to lead you. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Should I choose it? Should I not choose that? You're asking the Lord, you better be patient. Because he's going to come and give you instruction, but he's going to do it at his own time. So he wants you to wait upon him. So it's very important, is patience. The patience is like we that are waiting for the Lord's coming. He said, those who through faith and patience, they are seeking that glory, is going to reward us. So there's a need for patience when you are dealing with God. Now, I also put a point, he said, failure to heed the word of the Lord like you see these people. Apostle Paul said, hyperceive. Well, no, they didn't want to do that. If they do not take heed to the word of the Lord, they are going to run into some of those other things. Or they are seeking confirmation. They God speak something to you, and you didn't realize that was the Lord, and you were, let me go ask a second opinion. If you don't know that was the Lord, and that is the Lord that gave you, you are going to try to look for second opinion. Also. So that is why we want to learn to recognize the voice of the Master. Very important. Learn to recognize the voice of the Master. Say, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. So one of the efforts we believers need to put in our spiritual life especially, is to be able to recognize when the Lord is leading us, to hear his voice and follow him. So now, if you know it's the Lord, then you won't be thinking, well, let me ask for a second opinion also. And sometimes the Lord does not do, thou must not, thou shall not. It's like a gentle push. Because it's not the devil that break through the door. It's a gentle push. But if you understand that still small voice, you will not make mistake. The other thing I mentioned is that don't depend on circumstances. Decide what you can see. That's what you see in these people. After they say, well, I don't think we want to stay here yet. And they saw the wind. Let's say everything calm down right now. Look, the south wind is blowing. Ah, now we can go. So they were following their sight, which is also one of the things that the Bible warns us about, that we should be careful that we want to follow the Lord and be by the leading of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Now, let me give me 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Apostle Paul mentioned some people that he said they have shipwreck. What does he mean by shipwreck? Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. So that is just an example of somebody can also have shipwreck in our spiritual life. And we want to watch against that. I don't want to make shipwreck in my spiritual life. What is making shipwreck? If we are all following the Lord, we have a goal. Our target is to go in the rapture. Our target is to enter heaven and not be lost. Now, look at examples of people that some people have had visions and dreams and saw on the other side, and they saw even pastors that were in hell. What is that? It was a pastor. That was a video that we showed sometime, which this brother that died and rose 3 days later said he saw even in that hell. Pastor crying on him that he has done this, he wanted to repent. Which means all the things we claim that he thought he had been doing as a pastor, and yes, secretly doing some other things, whatever it was. He said he was stealing from the church, stealing money from the church. After they gave him part the salary, and he was still stealing from the money. I remember somebody told me, when I was still back in Africa, that, oh, if that church or if that prophet was really a prophet, he could have known, because he was working for them. He was taking some of their money that they contributed into his pocket. He's making a shipwreck of his life. That was that pastor in that vision that said he was in hell. He said he wanted to repent, he wanted to repent. He was now confessing, but it was too late. So you don't want to make a shipwreck of your spiritual life and end up where you don't want to go. When those who didn't have any time for God are going to the same hell. No, you don't want to go there. And Apostle Paul was warning somebody here. He said that some have put it out concerning faith, have made shipwreck of themselves. You see an example of that where he mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Actually, verse 20 of this also mentioned a name, giving a name of somebody, say, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying of the hands of the prior by said. That's not the one I'm looking for. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Okay. So he mentioned Alexander the coppersmith. He said he did me much evil, and God will reward him. That Alexander the coppersmith came up in the life of Apostle Paul when he was talking about people that have made shipwreck of their faith. They have given up on faith. I think verse 20 of 1 Timothy chapter 9. Alexander the coppersmith was a Jew. He didn't believe. And because of that, he rose against Apostle Paul. So Apostle Paul was given as an example of people that have thrown off faith. And he said he has delivered them to Satan. But he also mentioned in another place that Acts of the Apostles, not that one. Verse 20 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, verse 20 of that actually mentioned some names and said they have made shipwreck of their life. So we want to make sure that in our spiritual life, we do not want to mess up. Do this thing right, is what I say in some of my sermons. Do this thing, let's do this thing right and please the Lord. Very important. Now, another example is, what about family? Who is invited, who is allowed to steer the ship? You know, you see, we are like, our life is like a ship that is going somewhere. But who is invited to come and steer the boat with you? Because we are allowing them or we are inviting them to participate. Like if you want to do a business, I say, I need a partner. You know, I need a business partner. Then you better choose your friend wisely. Not so. Because you are inviting them to come and participate in sharing this boat with you. So who is allowed or who is invited to steer the boat with you so that you guys don't shipwreck in the journey? It's the same thing in marriage. You want to choose somebody. That's why people want to, in African tradition, most of us here are African, before they get married, they go and investigate to know whose family is this that we're inviting to come and build a house with us or with our son or with our, and so on and so forth, so that they can make sure that they say, who is invited or who is allowed to steer this boat with you so that you do not end up in a shipwreck. That's in when it comes to family. But when it comes to individual life, whom are you listening to when you are leading your life? Who is counseling you in your life? Whom are you listening? Are you listening to the Bible? Because that is the word of life. If you are following the Bible, then you are on your good ground. Very important. That's one of the things. You see, somebody said, God has put us here. We are like machines God has created. We're like machines. Where is the user's manual for this machine? The user's manual. Somebody said, the Bible, the word of God is the user's manual. That this is how to operate this temple, this is your body. And if you operate it according to the word of God, you are definitely going to be successful. But if you are listening to other things, you may end up ruining your life. Also, people listen to friends that we invite them to alcoholism, alcohol, or into drugs, cocaine. And you are listening to those friends, they are going to lead you to those things that are going to ruin this machine that God has put us into. We are the machine. So very important that, and if somebody is listening to alcoholic friends or friends that you invite to alcoholism or all those type of things, vices of the world, which is called sin in the end, is summary of it is sin. Whether it is alcoholism, whether it is drug addiction, whether it is just bribery and corruption, they are all sin in the world. Now, if you participate or you are listening to all those things, you are going to come to a shipwreck, spiritual life or even physical life. Some people that end up in jail because they participated in the fraud in life, whatever is the fraud, if they end up in jail, they just shipwreck their life. Because the time in incarceration is a wasted life. They just waste all those years. Which is why they give you 5 years in the prison. When colleagues will have graduated from college, finished college, and married, and if this one is incarcerated, just wasted all those years of incarceration, just living for the government, not even living. Even if they're now releasing after 20 years, you can see the stories, many of people, they were incarcerated in America for 20-something years, and they came out Alive, yeah, but they have wasted 20 something years. Life just roll on. So you don't want to, that's a shipwreck of a personal and individual life. And the same thing goes in shipwreck of family, or raising the family is the children and the family, the husband and the wife, it could be a shipwreck. But see, if we follow all these precepts of the Lord, right from the beginning, and make sure that you don't allow the devil, these are the few things, when I say, what is this thing that we're talking about? Don't, who are you inviting to maneuver this ship with you? Satan? Satan is danger. Or fear. Is anything that is satanic, like fear, even the fear of this, fear of that, that Bible says, if you look at the scripture, it says that the fearful, do you ever wonder why God put the fearful in the book of Revelation chapter 21? When he said these are the people that will not go into that city. One of the things mentioned was the fearful. I said, fearful? My goodness. Before you talk about the ungodly. Verse chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 8. From verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And then what did he say in verse 8? But the fearful of what? So fear is one of the tools that you don't want to let it steer the boat with you. Your life is the boat now, it's the ship you're talking about. Your life is the ship. So the fearful, and then the what? Unbelieving God. Then these abominables. Those are all the things we can always mention. Abominable sin of all kinds is abominable. And then he went on and listed some other ones, the murderers, the whoremongers, and so on, and the sorcerers. And all of those are going to have their part in the lake. Abominable is fire. But he said, what is the fear for? He said, don't invite fear to be steering your ship with you. Trust in the Lord and depend on the Lord is what it means to overcome fear. Just trust God that his word will not fail. It's the word of God that's going to help us when it comes to that. And then the bad company is another thing, bad company. Who are your friends? When you go to college, especially, whom do you join? I was in college. Let me give you my own small story. I went to college as an unbeliever. Where I say unbeliever, I was going to church. Remember that. But I was still an unbeliever when I was not born again. And I went from preliminary class, then part one class. And when you get to college, they want you to come and join these sororities, all these fraternities, and they all invite these students to come. And I thought, well, gee, I joined was the high society. Who are these high society? Those are the men that dress in suits, proud. They want to be CEOs, you know, that's their mission. And you have to be in that type of high society club. Those are the ones I joined. No? They are the drunkards, you know, the power and drinkers club. No, those are just bad guys. They are the guys that shoot drugs. They call them the dragon club. You know, I joined the high society club. If I learned anything from them, it's this time. I mean, that was the first thing they taught us how to tie these European ties. Because they line us up in their first and second year, and five of us that was in being initiated, said, let's show you how to tie this side. I said, well, do it this way. So I was able to teach my son how to tie these European ties. Other than that, but while I was there, the Lord called me out of that. That was the only club I joined. They are always in suit, and they are like, I look down on everybody else, and we are so well-dressed, and they are shooting for CEOs of the world. But when the Lord called me, I have to send him them letter. I said, I got a higher calling. Said, what's a higher calling? I said, I'm going to be Christian, born again. So they kind of scratched their head and said, well, good luck to you. So, but see, what I'm trying to say, who is steering the boat with you? Whom are you, what group are you following? If I was choosing the wrong group then also. I was choosing the wrong group, but see, what the Bible is saying is, who is going to steer your ship with you? The wrong company. Don't choose the bad company because in the end, who knows, they may do some drugs or they do some adultery and some other type of thing, or they embezzle money and some of it. See, those are all going to end up in shipwreck of life. Remember that. Praise the Lord. And In solutions, I'm just going to give you some of these things that I write there. Say, trust in the Lord, Psalm 37. I'm going to gravitate onto that Psalm 37, some few verses there that talks about what we should do to make sure that we do not shipwreck our life, we do not shipwreck our family, and we do not shipwreck in the spiritual growth. Psalm 37 gave us so many things that we should look at verse 5. Psalm 37, verse 3. Yeah, it said, trust in the Lord and do good, so shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be filled. Verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So, all of these Bible verses telling us, you want to trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. You want to rest in the Lord. In verse 7, we say you are to rest in the Lord. That is the, and wait patiently for you. I mentioned that impatience also is another thing that can injure believers when they are trying to listen for counsel from the Lord. Now, you get married, and you have friends, and they come and counsel you that something's not going right, you shouldn't do that, that family is better than that, your family, this is what that man is doing to in his family, and you are not getting what you expect. And all of those things that the enemy will use. But you see, you want to, don't listen to wrong counseling. You want to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Actually, if you have been praying, sometimes you are praying because you see that this is a big change. It's change either in yourself or it's change in your family or in your child or in your spouse. And you are praying for that change, we believers now, and you have not seen the change yet, just hang in there. That is the patience. That is the patience. Sometimes you need that patience to keep working with the Lord. And then also it's mentioned that we have to be content, because sometimes it is discontentment that makes somebody to want to do something, change something, do something, or make it a sudden change of situation. Look at Psalm 37, verse 7 and verse 8 also. He said, rest in the Lord, 7b, because of the man. He said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Don't compare yourself with this other person. You want to say, well, you need to do something real quick. That's a discontent. Make you want to begin to change something because of the man who prospered, because of making wise devices to pass, wicked devices to pass. And verse 8 said, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. That is, you want to just follow the precepts. Sometimes it's that contentment. You may see others prospering because they, somebody say, well, gee, I invested in this. I'm now a millionaire. I invested in that. You want to draw your money and invest in that. You may be in danger. They always told us when we were growing up, let me give you another story. When I was growing up, I grew up in the small towns in Nigeria. Small towns. But the desire of many of us for growing up was to visit Lagos. That's a big city. But the older people will always warn us, when you go to Lagos, be careful. And if you know most of this, our parents are Ijebus, I was from Ijebu, they will tell you that Lagos is just dangerous. Dangerous. And you go into the streets in Lagos, some guys will be doing what they call this, it's a form of gambling, but it's a deception. They will gather maybe four people around and you say, well, this man is going to bring your $1 and we're going to multiply it. He just got $100. Why? Everybody say, what? $1 to $100? And it was claim to be gambling, they say tricksters. We call them tricksters. They are deceiving people. The man that gave them $1 and make it $100 is a part of them. And they warn us, when you go to Lagos, there are very many of them like that, the tricksters, pickpockets. So when you see the Jebus, they came with their money under their arm, they don't listen. Why? Because of the warning, we have been warned. They will say, well, bring $1 and you see everybody gather and they see this woman that came to buy some stuff, taking it to the town. and she must have been loaded with money for investment to buy all these things. And if she has not been warned, she was not wise enough, she just saw somebody make triple of the money he invested in these people. These people just put a little table on the road and said, bring money, we multiply it for you. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, $100. And someone say, wow. And he say, well, $100. And he went away. And he said, you want to say, well, gee, I can invest my money and get more. And very soon, the woman that is not wise or the young man that's not wise give them the money. And when they get more, say, well, gee, you didn't make more. And very soon, he lost it all to them. Where's my money? They just parked and left. And the fellow didn't realize she had just lost the tricksters. They told us stories like that, that be wise. Be wise. That was why I was throwing that in. That was common in the big cities. They just told us, when you go to the big cities, don't be fooled. That's really what he's talking about. Don't be fooled by all those tricksters. And that is what we are saying, that be content. If you are content with what you have, you don't even waste your time with, say, I want to make suddenly big money. Solomon put it another way, he that is hasty to be rich. It's what Solomon called it. That's hasty to be rich. Yeah, gee, this man just make 100 out of $1, so I better try it also. Somebody told you that I just invested in this thing, stock market, and I make it. And you say, what? So you wanted to invest yours, you may lose it all. Be wise. And that's why he said, be content. Sometimes 7 by 7, and he said, don't follow the wicked when they are trying to do it. Be content with what you have, and the Lord will be blessing you. Now, some of the few things I wanted to point out here. The reason why the Lord, actually, let me just summarize with the last part of it that I wanted to help us, the Lord wants us to go into. I had a visitation, a locomotive dream this week. We want to talk about shipwreck. We were talking about shipwreck. And this vision made me to look the way it's a form of shipwreck if something like that happened. In that dream, I saw two ladies that are married to their families, and they were talking. I just was hearing their voice, and they were talking about looking back at their marriage life, and they were discontent. I first thought they were talking about their parents, because they were talking about when they were buying the dresses for the wedding, that somebody was only telling them what they should choose, and they felt they are being controlled. So I thought they are talking about their parents, no? Because when we are doing weddings, the parents that are buying this clothes. The way they kept talking, they were talking in the direction that they were fed up with their marriage. So that's what, because they are talking of their husband in that vision. Then I saw some prayer warriors, elderly sisters, praying for these couples, these women, younger women. These are younger women, younger families that have just been married, and they are raising their children. And their grandparents are praying for them. So that is why I said, don't make a shipwreck of your life. I remember also what the pastor always said, don't be rewinding, trying to look back, because that was looking back. Oh, when we got married, the man, I thought he was talking to their daddy, didn't even wanted to buy this one for the wedding, and they said, almost like somebody was ruling over them, so to speak, or controlling them. That's the direction their discussion was going. And one of them was now saying she wanted to pack and pack it up, fed up. And I said, well, that's shipwreck. You don't want to shipwreck just because of looking back of things that have happened in the past. Why the Bible said, you have to walk in love and forgiveness. If you don't walk in forgiveness, you keep looking back at what they didn't let me do or they didn't. You can even do that. You are not married. You can even think of that for your parents. My parents, they are just so this and they are so that. They are so over-religious, and you think they are forcing their life on you and so on. That can make people rebel against their family, against their current life. And that is what that vision was telling me. I said, don't do it. That's what these prayer warriors, women are praying for these couples. They are praying, don't do it. Pray for them, because it's shipwreck. You don't want to shipwreck your life. You don't want to shipwreck your family just because of looking back at what did not happen. Why you want your ways. But what is that? If you want your ways and not submissive to the word of God. The word of God said, we need to be humble. Also, the word of God asks us to be humble. We want to trust in the Lord. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, in summary of this thing, because in the end, I brought this one in chapter 20 of Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. I brought this one in to make us to see that don't look at the current situation. Like we were discussing in this last review, what is the eternal perspective? Eternal perspective of everything in life. So that is what this one is talking about. It's the end of it all, because someone can say, I was thinking about it. Somebody said, if you want to follow the life of Christ and you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, look at what he did to Jesus Christ. Following the Lord, he crucified him. He said, but you are looking at the current situation. Look at the eternal perspective. This is what we are shooting for. Do you want to go to the lake of fire in the end, or you want to go to the Lord? You want to go with the Lord and live with him forever and ever. So the lake of fire, we don't want to go there. That's the eternal perspective. Whatever we are going through in this world, and it may look bad, it may look like we are not getting what we want, but remember that our real destination is like that. The pastor Emmanuel was saying something just now, that a missionary that went, lived 50 years in the jungle and came back and looked like he came back to his country or not. Nobody seemed to know him. Nobody seemed to know him. Have you wasted 50 years? And he said, the Spirit told him that, this is not really your real destination. The real destination is, where do you go when you get to the other side or heaven? So that's why this eternal perspective comes into play. You may say, I don't like what I get from my parents. I don't like what I get from my husband. Look like I'm being, but God said, submit to your husband. You see? Why? It's the eternal perspective that matters, not the fact that I'm not like these other people that are enjoying their life. I'm not like these other people that are making it life. But you don't want to shipwreck. That's what God is saying. We want to trust God and look at the eternal perspective. If I'm pleasing God, God is going to defend me. God's going to deliver me. God's going to be with me at the end. And that's what I want to wrap up with, is that remember, we are not here to stay. We are not here to stay. We are shooting for a goal. That eternal perspective. That's, after all this is said and done, whether there is persecution that kills believers, the end result is what we are shooting for, eternal perspective. Let's stand up to our feet. Let's stand up to our feet. And we're going to pray for ourselves that we want to keep our eyes on that eternal perspective, keep our eyes on that goal that the Lord has set before us. The goal of becoming, we call the goal of the overcomers, of entering that, our life in the book of life, we are going to enter that new heaven and a new earth in the end, and we're going to live with him forever. So there will be some challenges right here on earth. Look like the scripture is telling us to do it this way, to wait patiently. Don't look at the people that are prospering in their journey, but they are doing it through crooked ways. Be patient with the Lord. Because of that eternal perspective, we are going to get there if you follow the word of God. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. And if I can add something to it, let's have the younger couples. If you and your husband, you are both here, I want you to come forward. Let's pray for you. Younger couples, I'm talking about all those people that are like our children in their generation. They are married. They are all here. Come forward. We want to pray for you. Because that vision has said they are struggling with experiences they have in their life that make them to want to pack it up and go. We don't want you to have that situation. If your husband is not there, just pray. We can pray for all of you too. Just come forward and we pray along with you. Your husband, come, all of you just line up. And just pray. We just want to pray for you. The whole church wants to pray for you. That Lord, let nobody shipwreck their family just because of past experiences, past events, whatever they have not gotten. It looks like they are getting the short end of the stick, like people say. They are getting the short end of the stick because they think the spouse, their husband, is not doing this, while the other husband over there is doing that, or that family over there is prospering. Want to pray for you that don't look at the prosperity of the wicked, like the psalmist we are saying, but keep your eye on the Lord and look for the eternal perspective. When you are obeying the Lord, and you are following the scriptures, the Lord knows how to turn things around. If you think it is your spouse that is bad, you want to just cut it off, get out, no? If you keep following the word of the Lord, God knows how to turn it around. If you be patient, of course. And if you will talk to the Lord and let the Lord do it and not you jump the boat. If you jump off the ship because you think, Apostle Paul had to tell them when those sailors thought that, well, we better get out of here. Because, and Apostle Paul said, don't let these people get out because we need them to help us steer this ship. All of us will die if they jump off. So we don't want to jump off the ship either. So, but the Lord is the one that can help us. He has told Apostle Paul. So we want you to pray for everybody else, stretch your hand to this couple or these families that are here, that they want the Lord to help them in any direction. We want to just bless these couples. And those that are not here, and you may not think you have any situation, but just come. Bracken and your wife, you are your world of comfort. I'm talking of all the family. I'm not saying you have a problem. I just want us to pray for all the young couples. Bracken, Sister Moore, all the other people that are married, just come, just bless all of you together. I close to study here. Just we want to pray for all of you that Lord bless all these couples and help them to stand the course. Stand the course. We just pray for you. If you have your spouse with you, you come with your spouse, your spouse or you just stand for your spouse. We want to pray that Lord help all these families and help them to stand the course. No matter what the situation, they are looking back and saying things didn't go wrong sometime. Forget about the past. Look for the future, and the Lord will help you. The rest of the church, just stretch your hands towards it and pray for them. Father, we bring all these young couples and those that are not even here, that are families, our family, our children, that are somewhere else, but they are married, that you touch them, Lord Jesus. We want you to touch every young family that are already raising their children somewhere, or they're just married, they don't have children, but the husband and the wife, touch them, Lord Jesus Christ, and help them to see that this journey is a journey. A journey, it's not even a sprint, it's a marathon. And they want to hang in there till the end. And help them, Lord God, to see the word of God clearly, and to obey the word of God that you have given to them, to listen to God's counsel. When it comes to marriage, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, help them to listen to God's counsel because there will always be a rough road in life when it comes to marriage. The Lord, give them the strength, the backbone to all farm together. I was sharing with somebody that was telling me from Africa, telling me really, how his wife parked and left, thinking that something was not right. And I said, well, whatever the woman was complaining about is a spiritual fight. But you don't think it's the woman's fight. It's both of you are together to fight the devil off. If you think it's my husband's family that are doing it, or it's my wife's family that are doing it, you are making a mistake. Both of you are now one unit. Husband and wife said two became one. Now, if anything come against that family, it is both of you fight the enemy together. I don't think it's the woman's fault, it's the man's problem. So all of you fight it together. So Father, give them the wisdom and understanding, Lord, that if anything comes against their family, they are going to stand together to fight off the devil in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. That's our prayer for them. And give them the wisdom, Lord, and the understanding of that in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just touch your hand. As I pray for you, plead the blood of Jesus upon you, the blood of Jesus upon you, the blood of Jesus upon you. Say the can see some spirit. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord help you with your family in the name of our Jesus Christ. Say, Homer, the Kanda Bashidi, Kanya, the Kumba. Say, Holy, the Kumba, the Shidi. Father, thank you, Lord, for that. We bless them, Lord, and we pray, Lord, for them, Lord. And you yourself will guide them, Lord, in life, because life is full of all those obstacles. It's an obstacle chase. And the Lord, that is our strength. The Lord is thy strength, what I God say. He will help you jump all those obstacles and be victorious and be successful and arrive at the end. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Praise to the Lord.